Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair? Parsley, sage, rosemary.
Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. One of the defining voices of American popular music was silenced in recent years. Art Garfunkel's world-famous countertenor faded, forcing him off the stage and into vocal rehab. It would have been understandable if the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and occasional actor called it a career. He had passed 70, saying it wasn't so terribly strange after all, and had already left his mark on music. But Garfunkel resolved to return to the stage, working to regain his voice at the same time he released a career retrospective album, The Singer. Garfunkel will perform in our region tonight at the Bardavon in Poughkeepsie and at the Capitol Theater in Port Chester on Saturday.
I'm sure I've been in Poughkeepsie. My memory is terrible. I smoke too many joints, Ian. I don't remember exactly when I was there. I've been all around. I'm sure I've done shows in Poughkeepsie, but I'm not sure what theater I would have worked on. I know that the name Poughkeepsie was extremely popular in my home in Queens. Dad was a traveling salesman. He was forever going to Poughkeepsie. And when you learned how you spell it and you saw the name, you go, this is the most intriguing of all American names, next to Wichita.
What did your dad sell?
Men's coats. Out of World War II, his company, the Monarch Manufacturing Company, inherited many leather bomber jackets with beautiful fleece-lined inner linings. They were beautiful, that yellow amber color in the inner lining. And they had fur jackets that was brown with brown. And we had a ton of them downstairs in our basement, and he had the warehouse supplying him with many hundreds, and he'd frequently go on the road and pack up these bomber jackets into his heavy valises, 2-foot by 3-foot black plastic valises. He'd load them up in the car, and he'd go up to Poughkeepsie and Albany and Schenectady, and these words really went into my consciousness when I was a kid.
Did he take you with him ever?
Very rarely. One trip, he went to Boston. We ate at the Cafe House, the Chinese restaurant. He was a charmer. My dad was a wonderful traveling salesman with a mustache. And because his own dad died at age 6, he learned manhood from Errol Flynn, from Clark Gable, from Hollywood. And he learned how to be a debonair, charming salesman.
Was he musical like you?
He was musical like me. He had a very musical soul. We had a piano in our living room. Nobody played it with proficiency, but he loved to dabble at it, and I can see his left hand going to the octaves down below. He never knew what he touched in the bass octaves, but he would keep a rhythm going. He did play with some proficiency. He sang with my mom in 2-part harmony, like the Andrews Sisters. He appreciated great stuff. Before he died, he spent a lot of time lying on the couch, listening to favorite classical things with his earphones on. And we had a Victrola, a record player, a turntable. And there were the Andrews Sisters. And what I remember most is Enrico Caruso. He must have had the early vinyl records, maybe it was RCA Victor, of Caruso recordings. And I would hear at age 5, 6, I would hear this magnificent Italian opera singer hit these high notes with such drama. And I must have fallen in love. You know, you're very, very impressionable, Ian, when you're very young. When things get you at age 6, they really get you. And I loved singing dramatic songs with a high finish, as I learned from Caruso.
You've talked a lot about practicing singing in the stairwell just by yourself.
Until I've talked about it too much, Ian. We should probably not talk about it anymore.
But when did you realize that you could do it too?
Kindergarten. They would all walk home from school and I would linger behind. Kindergarten or first grade. I went to PS 117 at first. Yes, very early I lingered in the stairwell singing to myself.
Wishing I was gone, going home, where the New York City winters are bleeding me, leading me to going home. In the clearing stands a boxer and a fighter by his trade, and he carries the reminders of every glove that laid him down or cut him till he cried out in his anger and his shame, I am leaving, but the fighter still remains.
You know, you've had such a great career. What was it that made you work so hard to come back?
Singers gotta sing. A singer has no choice. If you have the gift, the close friend of singing, you never betray the friend. No matter what arguments you've had with your sing, no matter how the singer has turned her cold shoulder on you, you never say goodbye to singing. You tenaciously work to court, to re-court your love singing. You never drop it. That's the main thing. There's a tenacity there. To have said to myself, all right, that's it. You don't sing anymore. You're not a singer, is to enter some new strange identity that I do not choose to enter.
Now that you're back on the road, you've got concerts around the country. You've had your retrospective album, of course, called The Singer, that phrase you've just proffered. Does it feel different to be back on the stage knowing that that had gone for a while?
Yes, it's all different now. It is a thrill to sing more than ever before. It is amazingly wonderful, and the name of God has entered into my show more than ever. Because it was always a God's gift to me, and then it was gone mysteriously. And now I can do it again, and the appreciation and the gratefulness makes you want to tilt your head up to the heavens. It's a new show I fashioned. It's gone very, very less is more to the extreme. It has gone literary, my show. I just work with one guitar player, Tab Lavin. Being so empty throws the exposure onto the voice, the songs, and I kind of welcome the vulnerability. It's very daring. I never did this. For a singer to have vocal trouble and work with no masking, no band to hide behind, no electric instruments, and still to have vocal troubles out loud in those first dozens and dozens of shows is brave stuff. All those first shows were mending out loud in front of people with crapping out and all kinds of frogginess, and you just do it because you can't practice at home and then get it right and ready for the stage and do it. Right and ready for the stage is a lot about now. Now there's a point where you have to do it in front of people. And even though you're not finished with the vocal return, you have to risk it anyway. Adrenaline and exposure is part of the mending.
And it's very rock and roll.
You could say very raw, yeah. Neil Young, his tones are not smooth. They're jagged and all over the place. The world loves Neil Young. You're allowed to be raw and exposed in your vulnerability when you're a rock and roller. It's true.
And it has to mean something to you that the audience hasn't gone away.
It means a lot to me. It's great. Audiences treat me very nicely, as if, Mr. Garfunkel, if you hang in these many years, we can see the devotion. And they applaud more than ever.
I hope you don't mind me going to this area, but how are things with Paul Simon these days?
How are things with old Paul Simon? I don't speak to him too much these days. We're a little distant. He's busy with his family, and we're both family men. I assume he's busy with his family. He has four great kids. He's a different, you know, we always were a different type of people. He's a Libra. I'm a Scorpio. So I don't speak to him that much. I continue always to think of him as a dear friend who has enriched my life enormously.
Would you work together again?
Would you?
Mm-hmm.
If he called you, Ian, would you work with him?
Well, I wouldn't presume to do so, but I am a huge Simon and Garfunkel fan, so I have to assume I would say yes.
I don't know if I'd work with him again. I don't know. The answer to that question is an answer I'd rather tell him if he should call me before I tell you. The press gets to know these things after Paul Simon gets to know these things.
You were a math teacher for a while before going back to music earlier in your life, and I wonder what kind of teacher you were.
Geometry teacher, high school level, 15-year-olds. I was a very extremely straightforward, serious teacher. I had just come off of Bridge Over Troubled Water. Ian, it was surreal to see a guy with a global number one record walk into their class with a sport jacket and a tie and go up to the blackboard and start putting on triangles with theorems and definitions. It was shockingly straightforward. I was a good teacher. I had patience. I was tender. I was sympathetic to the learning kid and how tough it could be. But I was finding out that teaching has two parts, the content of what you're teaching, and then the psychology of motivating the kids to care, to learn. And I wasn't great at I never can make anybody do anything. If somebody doesn't want to learn, I don't know how to make them want to do it.
Do you ever miss it?
Well, I get to do it with my son. Just last night, my 9-year-old was going through his homework. There was multiplication, and I was the teacher to my son, and I still have the touch. I was really nice and laid back, very supportive, putting the focus on his grappling and learning and doing a lot of reinforcing and never dealing with the negative. I'm a good teacher. So I'm back in it with my own boy, Beau, B-E-A-U.
And he can sing, too.
I have two boys. My older one, Arthur Jr., has proved he can sing magnificently. Ian, he's better than me. He's a great singer. My younger boy, Beau, is 9, and he's very early in the interest of singing. He was just yesterday, he was showing me, he thinks singing is about going very high. It's adorable. He showed me some very high notes, and they had quality. There was a beauty there. And he said, "What do you think, Dad? Do you think I'll be a singer?" "You just might be," I said. "You just might be," opening the window of possibility to his world. He said, "I really want to be." I said, "I know." It's adorable. It's fantastic to be a father. You adore these children. It's religious. It's the greatest thing I have known. It beats Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Art Garfunkel will be in our region tonight at the Bardavan in Poughkeepsie and again on Saturday at the Capitol Theater in Port Chester. It's just been my honor to speak with you, and I'm so glad that you're back out on stage where you belong.
Thank you, Ian. Very nice words of you to say, and thank you for helping me. I want a winning night.
We were born here, we're going to die here, come what may. We are entitled by our birth to the treasures of the earth. No one must be denied these, no one must be denied the easy dreams at the end of a chain, smoking day. Easy dreams at the end of the day.
and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.